This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, this historic Big Ten rivalry dates all the way back to October 12th of 2024. I don't know if you remember the first. Oh, they haven't played yet. Yeah, sorry.
Again, you'd think such a historic rivalry. I mean, Puddles versus Brutus. Come now. This thing goes way back. The Battle of the Mascots.
It is a good one.
They are two good mascots, I must admit. I enjoy the Oregon Duck.
Bucks versus Ducks. I love it. I love every minute of it.
Bucks versus Ducks. That's the way it goes.
All right, so we are going to stand by. We are waiting for our old friend, Tim May, and hopefully he'll join us here on the hotline here in just a moment. We love having Tim on every Friday. I wonder if Tim's playing golf today. I wonder if he forgot about us.
Odds are high.
Odds are high? You think he forgot about us?
Oh, no. Odds are high he's on the golf course. My guess would be the phone. You know, we'll get to him when we get to him.
So, anyways, anyone that's watched Ohio State every week has had the chance to see, you know, like not only will Howard get better every week, but just this, the team seems to be getting better. You're wondering if you're like, you're judging it against Big Ten talent and you're like, oh, okay, maybe it's the Big Ten talent. We'll find out this week for sure. Cause this is a very good Oregon team that they're going up against. If you lose, the beauty of it is now, I mean, it's a long trip. If you lose, it's not the end of the world anymore.
No.
Now, maybe it influences your odds of getting to Indianapolis for the Big Ten championship, which I think is a big deal. But actually, I think it's a big deal this year because you'll have the top two teams playing it. It's not like East-West or Legends and Leaders.
Yeah, you're no longer going into the Big Ten title game against like a three-loss Wisconsin. You know, you're running into all of those things in between. You're right. You're going to get the best two teams against each other, and it's not a death knell anymore. And I love that fact with college football. Like, I love the fact that Alabama can lose to Vandy, but it's not like Alabama's done. You know, it's completely out the window. They can still make the playoff. It's kind of what makes this whole thing as fun as it is. So,
have you had a chance to watch Jeremiah Smith at all? This kid is unbelievable. And what's crazy about it is he's coming up with these gigantic catches week after week for Ohio State. And Emeka Buka is putting up gigantic numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Emeka Buka had a coming out party last week.
Yeah.
Good golly, did he have a coming out party. But no, it was so funny you bring him up because I remember like 3 months before a friend of mine, essentially my uncle, a friend of mine was like, you got to check out this Jeremiah Smith kid. I have heard from people and he's an Ohio State grad and a massive, massive Buckeye fan. And he was like, you got to check this kid out. This kid's legit. Like, if you think Marvin Harrison is good, if you thought Jackson Smith and Jigba was good, Olave, Wilson, he's like, this kid's right there with them, if not better, that they brought in. It is unbelievable watching him get open. And it is unbelievable watching him make just one-handed catch after one-handed catch. It was almost like mirror images last week to the week before.
I mean, all he needs to do is get a fingertip on the ball. You think about the great wide receivers that Ohio State's had over the last couple of years, and as soon as this guy walked on campus, people were saying, well, this guy's the best. And I'm like, are you serious? Have you seen Garrett Wilson? Have you seen Jackson Smith and Jigba?
That's exactly what I said when my buddy said that. And I was just like, you remember? Do you remember Olave? Like, did you like black out last season watching Marvin Harrison Jr.?
I know.
Like, seriously?
I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr. to me was I couldn't believe how great he was compared to the other guys. And then, yeah, I'm just telling you, if you have not watched Ohio State play yet this year, and you've not seen Jeremiah Smith, he is unbelievable. I mean, all you have to do is get. I've seen like one, two bad plays from him that I can just think of off the top of my head. If the ball is anywhere near him, I've seen him in double coverage, just kind of get his hand up in the air and then boom, bring it back down. He is he truly is ready for the NFL right now.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing when you get those guys and they're just nails? Like there's just something different about those dudes than everybody else that they're going up against. And he is definitely one of them. And this is going to be a fun one, man. It's 2 versus 3. This is as big as it gets. I mean, this is what you built college football for. And this is, as much as conference realignment stinks, and conference realignment has driven all of us absolutely insane, this is the benefit of conference realignment, is that you get more of these games and less of the, you know, Ohio State versus Michigan. Purdue.
Yeah.
You know, Ohio State versus, you know, Nebraska's pretty good this year, but Ohio State versus Rutgers. And I mean, I know Rutgers is decent too. But, like, you get less and less of these than you used to, and you start getting these big, big boy games. I'm excited. I'm real excited. The other thing I'm excited for, Andy, it seems like the Super League got shot down once again.
What happened?
Well, there was another conversation that took place between supposedly, and Ross Dellinger has done an awesome job at Yahoo laying all of this out, but basically saying that Disney and a couple others were about to come in and infuse like $5 billion into college football.
Yeah, it was like eight. I think it was like $8 billion.
Might have been eight. To build the top 60 teams? I think it was going to be, with some idea of relegation and promotion and all of that kind of stuff, and build the new version of the College Football Super League. And Tony Petitti and Greg Sankey, who are the commissioners of the Big Ten and the SEC, basically came in and said, no, we're not doing it. Which I was floored place.
But you got to think about it. They're protecting their member schools that could get. I mean,
you could get all those SEC schools in, and you could get all those Big Ten schools in real easily.
Into the top 70? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. You put your thumb on that one to make sure your guys are covered. I am flabbergasted, because you would have thought that amount of money. And, like, my favorite part of college football is David versus Goliath. And those moments that when David can hang it. And when David can beat Goliath.
Is Vanderbilt?
Yes.
Okay.
Nick Saban walked out onto a stage and said, everywhere we go in the SEC is always feels like we're at a road game, except when we play Vanderbilt.
Who was it that stopped in the middle of their press conference because that game was on and he was watching it? And he was, hang on, I got to see the end of this game.
I don't know who it was, but that's cool if that took place. That's real cool.
I just saw it.
I give them credit. And that's always my thing. And that's my fear of the Super League, is that if you're going to build a Super League of college football, you're not going to get David versus Goliath. You're just going to get Goliath versus Goliath constantly. And while we love 2 versus 3, it's really cool when Vandy wins.
Big Jumbo's Maple Heights. Talk a little Buckeyes. Hi, Big Jumbo.
In reality, I was a little disappointed they moved the game so they're competing with each other. I have to go somewhere, they have to double TV to watch them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we already talked about that. What are you going to use?
I'll figure it out. But my thing is, I've watched. I'm a big fan of Buckeyes, so I literally am a big fan of the Buckeyes. But I watched the line. I've seen them starting to progress. They rotate right guards. They've been actually starting to munch out some yards and work on some things and getting strong there. You know the receiving force good. You know they got the good backs. Their defense is solid. But some few plays I've seen Will Howard make are sort of head scratchers for like a six-year senior. You know what I mean? I mean, we don't need him to do that. He just don't have to mess up with this quality team. I mean, last week against Iowa, I believe it was Iowa, he threw another interception that was.
Yeah,
good.
I mean, but Jumbo, isn't he doing what you want him to do so far? I'm not. Yes, I've seen a couple of those plays, but they're so strong. We're expecting perfection. That's the whole thing.
Okay, I understand. I understand. But in some games against big teams, you might need. quote unquote perfection, and I don't know if that's going to happen. I want him to be good. I think he can. I like that he moves and gets out of the pocket and runs a little. That's great. I think even saving it actually a little bit, just stoking it up a little bit. It's exciting though. I mean, to go out to Oregon and play a game that really means like this, and have the whole country watching it. You know, I'm excited. It's going to be great knowing that I travel all over to see these guys. I've been over about 40 Buckeye games. This is going to be a great game. I'm really fired up. I think the Buckeyes take it in the end. I think their defense is strong, and I think their defensive line is going to show out at the end of the game. That's just my prediction. Go Buckeyes. Go Gardos. And a big player in the Guardians game tomorrow is going to make a big hit for him. As a guy who struggled, we haven't Jimenez is going to get a big hit tomorrow.
He looked frustrated last night. Thank you, Jumbo. Appreciate it. Yeah,
I hope so, man. He swung at three horrid pitches.
Oh, was he frustrated coming back to the bench? I remember when they stayed on that one shot of him. It was like, whoa.
Yeah, he swung at three real bad pitches in that one. You're going to need it. You're going to need it. It's going to be fun. Our buddy Jax Gregory sent me a text real quick here saying it was Lane Kiffin who you were talking about.
I got to see the
end of this game, and then we'll answer questions. So thanks, Jax. I appreciate you letting us know.
I was going through my mind, and I was like trying to remember who it was, and it was just – it was really unique because you're sitting here and you're watching a guy like Lane Kiffin in the middle of his press conference and say, hang on, I need to see the end of this game, as he was sitting at the table. And it was a monumental win, obviously, for Vanderbilt. It's weird, though, because it's not like Appalachian State winning. You know, it's not this.
Vandy's not exactly a football powerhouse.
No, but they're still a pretty big school. Oh. I mean, I get it. No, believe me, I was all in on it. I was like, as I was watching, I couldn't believe it. I think it was Booger McFarland that was saying, well, as the game was going on throughout the day, it was like, well, don't worry about it. They're coming back. Alabama's coming back. And then I never switched back over. I thought, especially because it was close. But Vanderbilt really, really stepped up in the second half on that. So, all right, let's see. We are standing by for Kevin Stefanski's press conference. We'll find out what happened to Tim May, and we'll scold him on the air. And then we'll do quick predicts. Pretty simple. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. He is currently on West Coast time. I knew something was weird. That's unlike Tim to miss a regular scheduled broadcast. Because I know he's got a big following. Like, I can't tell you how many times people come up to me and they're like, I love listening to Tim May. He's so funny, blah, 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 blah. But Tim May will be back with us next week, and we always appreciate him. He's an original, by the way. 13 years he's been with us.
That's awesome.
He's one of the originals.
That's as good as they get. Well, anyways, with a big college football game coming up as well, make sure you are listening to Nick Wilson and Spencer German break down everything with Ohio State and their path to the playoff and all the biggest headlines around college football on their Sons of the Shoe podcast. Subscribe now on the Odyssey app, 92thefan.com. Wherever you get your podcasts, make sure you have fresh episodes every week of the college football season. They've been doing reaction shows that have been doing really well on top of it. So, yeah, everybody needs a little more with Nick Wilson in their life. So download songs. Sons of the Shoe. Good golly, English is hard.
Says you. So we're waiting for Kevin Stefanski's press conference. That should start here probably in the next, I don't know, anywhere from the next 2 to 5 minutes. So stand by. He has always got that quick press conference on Friday, so we always carry that for you live. We're waiting for the injury report, which will probably come out here any second. I would think that's coming from Berea. And then we want to remind you, and it could be quick on the back end of it, so make sure you're locked in. You may want to call in while the press conference is going on to 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. You know what you'll be playing. That's right, you'll be playing Quick Predicts. And as we do it today, a little extra special bonus for you. Give us the Browns-Eagles score and Monday morning's headline, and then give us the Tigers-Guardian score and give us Sunday morning's headline. So you can have the opportunity to do a 2-for-1. We'll keep score. We'll see what your confidence level is, not only the Browns this week, but the Guardians as well. As they came off that big win from last night. All right, let's dive a little bit into the game itself between the Eagles and the Browns. And I'm just looking at stats. I'm looking at trends. I'm looking at all these little things that are out there. And the Browns have been such a mess that they're probably due for a good game. Philadelphia's coming off an off week. This is one of those weeks where you kind of look at it and you're like, fly the L, right? Yeah, I know you are. You're thinking about it because they've struggled so much. You can't go 0 for 12 on third down. You just can't do that. It's the NFL.
Browns have converted 6 of 43 third and longs for 14%. League average is 24.2%.
Define and log.
There
plus
are
seven?
So many of those. Yeah, plus 7.
Plus 7?
Yeah. I mean, the third down numbers are pathetic.
You have a quarterback in route. I was excited to hear this because at one point a week ago, he was on pace to being sacked 90 times. Now I think it's 86.
So we got that going for us, which is nice.
So there's a little positive step.
I mean, that's the problem with all of this stuff. Like, it's the problem with this entire offense. Is it just the line has been poor, right? Which makes the running backs poor. The quarterback has been poor, so he can't really clean up or put, you know, the deodorant, essentially, around the things around him to make it feel better. Like, I was always told by smart people when it comes to football that having a great quarterback is like a deodorant. It covers up all the stink that can be around it because the quarterback is so good. And so what we've watched so far is like the line has been bad. The wide receivers are dropping passes. They're also not getting open. The running backs aren't exactly hitting the hole well. They're not exactly having holes open for them so that they can be able to go forward as well. And the quarterback, on top of that, is playing poorly and bailing out of pockets that he shouldn't be bailing out of.
And
is missing
ball
open receivers. Yeah. And his receivers are also dropping passes. Like it's just this circle of everything that needs to all be pulling in the right direction. And instead, it looks like 11 guys who are pulling in 11 different directions and hopefully trying to find the right direction at some point. And now you got an Eagles team coming off a bye. And you're getting Devontae Smith back from what it sounds like, the wide receiver. You're getting wide receiver A.J. Brown back on top of that one. And they're getting one of the best right tackles in football. Why am I blanking on his name right now? Lane Johnson, that's his name. He's coming back too. And so it seems bad, but it has to turn around at some point, right? Like it can't just be this sputtering mess.
There are always games you expect a team to lose. This would probably be the week. This would probably be one of the weeks. So maybe this is the week they win. I don't know.
It's not like this Eagles team's been lighting the world on fire. I mean, they're giving up 6 yards per play, which is 30th in the league.
I just read like the Eagles website. They're like, this is just what the doctor ordered for their defense. This is exactly what the Eagles needed.
The Eagles defense has not been good. Like, Fangio doesn't have these guys going absolutely nuts how he has in the past. You know, it seems like there's some for the taking. They're giving up 24 points a game. That's 22nd in football.
And I know
Browns
are
23rd with 24 points.
I know we didn't have time for it today. Just kind of go through. Let's kind of just walk through our two keys in the lock here because we know that Kevin's coming up. So what were your keys? You don't have to play the big music or anything. I know that I wrote my, here, I'll give you mine.
I was going to say my number one key for this game is honestly, it was just going to be key one was start pulling in the right direction. Have all 11 guys pull in the right direction. And even pulling in the right direction in a bad offense is better than pulling 11 different directions in a bad offense. And right now it seems like they're pulling 11 different directions.
They were all going in different directions. Andrew, what was your first key?
My first key was the wide receivers being the main focus in this game. I think you have to look at getting targets out there, and I think with the Eagles secondary being as poor as it is, that would have been a big thing for the Browns.
Yeah, I would agree with what you're saying. I also think you got to get the tight ends involved too, unless you need them to stay home because you're not getting the pass protection that you need. I kind of wrote a little bit of that down, but I was more like they need to be able to get some first downs. You just can't go through this.
The Friday Injury Report brought to you by Slater Zurs. Experience you need, results you want. Visit SlaterZurs.com to get your free consultation. Injury Report. Mahut Diabate is questionable for this game. Jordan Hicks listed as questionable. Maurice Hurst listed as questionable. Denzel Ward listed as questionable. All right, so Diabate, Hicks, Hurst, Ward. Those are all questionable, those four. Nick Chubb is out for this game. Grant Delpit is out for this game. Ronnie Hickman out for this game. Naheem Hines out for this game. James Hudson out for this game. Ethan Posick out for this game.
So, Posick's out. Give me the outs again.
Posick is out. Hudson is out. We knew that. Hines is out. Ronnie Hickman is out. Grant Delpit is out. Nick Chubb is out. So you are going into this game without your two starting safeties, Delpit and Thornhill. Thornhill hasn't been here all year, but alas. Your starting center is out as well. It'll be Nick Harris at center.
All right. So
Denzel Ward, questionable. Jordan Hicks, questionable.
I mean, you're still not. You're not in horrible. I don't even. So what is that? We'll find out if Jack Conklin's a game time scratch.
He's go. He's a go.
As
he's
of
not
today,
on
he's a go.
He's not on the injury report.
David Njoku is a go. Now
he's a go,
still,
not on the injury report.
But you're still going to have inactives.
But usually if you're on the injury report, like if you're on the injury report, you're more likely to be inactive. If let's say Jack Conklin was out, he probably would be on this injury report.
Well, hopefully we'll find out here shortly because he'll be stepping to the podium any moment. The good
Absolutely.
Thing is that,
as a matter of fact, yep. I'm glad you said that, Andy Baskin, because we now go live to Berea for Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski.